org on Facebook. There is a group called Water for Detroit, Interim Relief for Detroiters. I want everyone to join that group if they can. Water for Detroit. Just type in Water for Detroit and it should come up in your search bar on Facebook. And please keep in touch with us. Please show us solidarity because Detroiters are really going through hard times, and we and everyone that love us, that loves Motown, that loves cars, that love you know, just the culture of you know, the city of Detroit, we love you back.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much for those words. So much. And for spending your time with us tonight. We'll talk to you again real soon, okay?
All right. Thank you, Carly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kristen.
Yeah. This was Miko Williams. Again, Miko Williams with afterparty.org, afterpartyusa.org. And I'm Kristen Yount for KBOO News.
This month, June 12th at 7 p.m., KBOO at the Clinton presents Satyricon, Madness and Glory, Mike Laster's documentary about the world-famous punk club Satyricon that opened in 1983, featuring interviews and footage from the Old Town establishment. Immediately following the film, 20-Foot Man, Portland's own very large musical steel puppet, a mainstay of public art, will perform myth formations emanating from written and unwritten musical concepts, arranged for your listening and viewing pleasure. Again, June 12th, the documentary film Madness and Glory, followed by a live performance from 20-Foot Man at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton. More information about KBOO at the Clinton this month and every second Thursday can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the third annual What the Festival, June 20th through 23rd in Duver, Oregon. What the Festival is an annual electronics festival which this year features the Glitch Mob, Washed Out, Nightmares on Wax, and more. There will also be a hookah lounge, relaxation huts, and the largest disco ball on the West Coast. Again, that's What the Festival, June 20th through 23rd at the Wolf Run Ranch in Duver, Oregon. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
What's up, everybody? This is Goddess and She, and you're tuning in to KBOO Portland. Holla at your girl.
Hi there, welcome listeners to Out Loud, your queer news and culture radio program here on KBOO. Thanks for tuning in. We have a great show. We're going to talk about Pride. We have Belinda Carroll with us. She is the fabulous organizer of entertainment at Pride this weekend. We're so grateful. We also have Alexis Page, one of the organizers of the Trans Pride March this weekend. Thank you so much for being here. A little bit later, we're going to have an interview with Ron Rasmussen. He is one of the folks who's involved with Veterans for Human Rights. This is a pre-recorded interview done by Barbara Nelson. And Veterans for Human Rights is a local organization. It's veterans who are devoted to equity and justice issues, and queer rights is one of the topics that they really concentrate on. And these are the folks you see them. If you've been out to the march, they are one of the opening folks, one of the first folks to march in uniforms with flags. So that's an interview with Ron Rasmussen of Veterans for Human Rights coming up after the half hour. In the meantime, we've got Belinda. Well, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
And Alexis.
Thank you.
Thank you both. So, Belinda, tell us about yourself. You're a local comedian.
Yes, I'm a local comedian, then I also travel with comedy. And then I have a show coming up Thursday at Funhouse Lounge with Jason Stewart. So that's going to be super fun.
Yeah, and we're going to chat with Jason in a few minutes. Is that right?
Absolutely.
All right, fabulous. What else? You are one of the organizers of the Dyke March here.
Yes. So last year we had a issue and we needed somebody to help organize the Dyke March. And then I ended up doing that last year. And so this year I'm helming it again. So, yeah. So it's super fun.
And I remember the Dyke March from when I was in college here. So it's got to have been at least 20 years.
Yeah, it's the 20th anniversary, actually, this year, for it being on Pride. It was actually pointed out to me by somebody that was in the very first Dyke March, that the very first Dyke March actually happened in August of 1993, and then it started on Pride in 1994. So, yeah, so this is the 20th anniversary.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Well,
congratulations.
Thank you. Herding cats since 1994.
Wonderful. And Alexis, you're here to tell us about the Trans Pride March.
Yes, I am. And yes, is there any sort of questions you'd like in specific or just sort of an overview?
Tell us about yourself a little bit first and then we'll talk about the march.
Okay, well, I am Alexis Page. I am a trans woman of mixed races. And I also work for the Cascade AIDS Project, where we're doing a lot of amazing work right now and just trying to reach out to the community. Part of that was actually, and this was also something personally I wanted to do, was going and helping out with the Trans Pride March, for which will be this Saturday, the 14th at 11:30 a.m. We will start having people gather at 10:30 a.m.
And they're gathering at the North Park blocks.
Yes, at the North Park blocks on West Burnside. Let's see. If you also, we have our Facebook page. You can just type in Portland Trans Pride is on, and you will find us. There's a map there. It's listing out all the entire route that we'll be walking. We're expecting there to be several hundred people or more showing up. So it's going to be really big. It's going to be amazing. We're also, if anyone is interested, you can, again, go on our Facebook page by looking up Portland Trans Pride is on and see our volunteer meeting that is happening tomorrow night. That will be happening in Pivot on Southwest 4th and Pine. And when you come in, we can sort of explain what volunteers we still are looking for. We're also going to be making signs if anyone wants to come along and make any signs or just, you know, do anything, have some fun, meet people, and sort of like just a pre-gathering before the march.
Totally. Sounds very sweet.
So we had a crazy thing happen. We've been dealing with this for the last couple of weeks, but we had a crazy thing happen with Dyke March. So Dyke March generally kicks off at 6:30 at the waterfront, but we had an issue with the city where the city needed the marches to be closer together. And so we actually had to move the Dyke March completely. So we're actually having the Dyke March for the first time at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, it kicks off at 1:30 at the North Park blocks. So we've been working very closely. Dyke March has been working very closely with Trans Pride to try to figure out how we can make those marches separate to honor the separate identities of dykes and trans people, but yet at the same time have them closer together so the city doesn't have to pay massive overtime or Pride doesn't get charged with massive overtime. And so, yeah, so we've been dealing with that craziness. And so we are having the Dyke March earlier. It's going to be at 1:30 at North Park Blocks. And then we have an accessibility vehicle both for the Trans March and the Dyke March. Thank you, Bad Girls. Bad Girls is supplying us with our accessibility vehicle. And so the accessibility vehicle will be going behind Trans March, and then it will loop around from the waterfront back up to North Park Blocks to do the Dyke March. So if you're a trans person, also a dyke, you can totally just march the Trans March and then come back around, march the Dyke March. So I think it'll be fun.
Oh, and yes, and Again, if you go on our Facebook page there of Portland Trans Pride is on, we have a document you can click on and you can just like free reserve to be on one of the accessibility vehicles if you want. And I also want to take a moment and thank Belinda so much. She has been so amazingly helpful. This has been a grassroots effort of just local community members from the trans community. And we've been doing a lot to get together and to make this happen, but it definitely could not have gone off without Belinda's help.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, no, and you guys have been working really hard, so that's why I want all of trans-identified people to come down and march. You know, trans visibility is, like, very, very important right now. So, I mean, it's always been important, but, like, right now it's kind of a crux of the trans movement kind of moving to the forefront. So I think it's absolutely 100% very important for you to show up and march and wear a fun outfit, because that's always fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely it is. And I do want to make sure people know that for the Trans Pride March, you know, that's anyone, if you identify as trans, you know, genderqueer, gender nonconforming, if you identify in any other way, if you're an ally who wants to just be mm-hmm. part of the march and show your support, anyone can come and be a part of the march.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't think that you can't be a part of the march because you don't feel like you're going to fit in, because you're going to fit in. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yes, definitely. And then after the march, if you stick around, we're also going to have about 45 minutes on the main stage.
Absolutely.
At the waterfront. Mm-hmm. And we have some amazing local speakers. They are trans men, trans women, you know, various trans people of color. And they're going to be sharing various things of personal stories, mm-hmm. ways in which they're affected, and just serve a lot about their lives here in Portland.
Absolutely.
Belinda, what hours are is the festival stage? Are there two stages this year?
There's one stage. It's just the main stage. And then that happens from noon, both Saturday and Sunday, to 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. And in past years, it's been... it's included an ASL interpreter?
Yeah, of course.
Okay,
Wonderful. Yeah, so Deb is the main person for the ASL interpreters. We're very excited. We have a lot of new stuff going on with the ASL interpreters. It'll even be better than normal. So that's going to be really fun. And then also, so after the trans speakers, then we'll have the sex bots. That's our first entertainer at 1 o'clock. So that'll be super fun on Saturday. So it should be a really, really fun lineup.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Does the Dyke March have a webpage or a Facebook page?
Yeah, the Portland Dyke March on Facebook. Yeah, okay. Make it easy. It's Portland Dyke March on Facebook.
Wonderful. Dearest listeners, I wish you could see Alexis's fingers.
They're amazing. So she's got them painted rainbow, and it's perfect. They're amazing. I love them.
Oh, well, thank you both very much. Yeah. It's always fun to, you know, do up your nails, to get dressed, just kind of be looking all sorts of wild and crazy for Pride.
Right.
It's definitely, like, one of my favorite things about it. And also seeing everyone else and how they choose to express themselves on this, you know, amazing weekend, which is really for us and celebrating our community.
It's gay Halloween, right?
You know, It is.
We can get all fancied up and do crazy mm-hmm. stuff. Do you have any fun stuff happening for you, Alan?
Oh, that's a good question. I think the most exciting part for me is actually not related to Pride, but it's Dolly Parton Hoot Night on Saturday. So I'm thinking of getting dressed up for
Dolly Parton Hoot Night?
Yeah, it's Dolly Parton covers. They do it once a year.
Oh, cool.
And it's a Northeast. So
where?
Alberta Rose this year.
Alberta Rose, okay. Dolly Parton Hoot Night.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I wasn't so busy. I would totally check that out. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Why does that happen during Pride? That seems like, I mean, it seems like it fits, but yet it's wrong because we can't go. You know, because I'm on the stage all day, so I'm going to be lucky to get to Inferno for 5 minutes.
Indeed.
Inferno's happening at Crystal Ballroom, which is the big women's dance, and so that'll be super fun. And so that's happening from 5 to... That's the other thing about Dyke March being earlier, which I'm very excited about personally, is that we get to go to Inferno straight after the stage closes versus having to march to the Dyke March and then go to Inferno, so that'll be super fun too. Yeah.
Now, one of the things we're going to talk about in a moment when we talk with Jason Stewart, who's mm-hmm. part of your event on Thursday.
Sure.
I think you're giving away tickets.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. Okay, so we've been trying to do this for like weeks, trying to get this together behind the scenes and stuff. But we are giving away tickets to Cher and Cyndi Lauper at the show on Thursday. So when you buy a ticket to Jason Stewart, you come to Jason Stewart, you get a raffle ticket. We're going to have a raffle and we're going to pull prizes for the Cher and Cyndi Lauper tickets. And we're giving away 10 tickets.
Wonderful.
So it's going to be amazing. I'm very, very excited.
Now, it reminds me that in 2 weeks we're going to have Carla Rossi on the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I invited Carla to come on to talk about, it'll be just a few days before the Cher and Cyndi Lauper show.
Sure.
So we're going to, Carla's coming in to talk about the show and what it is to be a performer, to have these influences, these people you grow up with.
Oh, sure.
Who inform how you come to be in the world and how you decide what kinds of people you want to be and what kinds of performance you want to have, if that's what you want to do. And questions of identity around that as well. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And along with that, I want to give a shout out to next week's guests really quickly. Jason Ingram. He is someone who is organizing a presentation that's about anti-gay conversion therapy.
There's
a conference of anti-gay conversion, practitioners later this month.
Practitioners, in air quotes.
And he, Jason is organizing a presentation in response to that.
Oh, cool.
So he'll be here in the studio next Tuesday, mm-hmm. along with Melinda Williams, who is one of the organizers of the Feminist Queer Sci-Fi Reading Group in Portland, which I'm very excited about.
Of course there's one of those in Portland. We get very exact with our queerdom in Portland. Have you noticed that? Like, we're the Latino knitters. Like, it's just, like, very specific. Also, did you see that Texas has... So nationally, they've banned the conversion therapy, right? Texas has something going into Congress to re-legalize conversion therapy in Texas. And I used to live in Texas. I lived in Dallas for a while, and I lived in Austin for several years. And it just blows my mind that people are still... persisting, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It just blows my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, but so that's cool. Also, I was going to say, I'm very, very excited. We were talking about performance and people that affect you and your performance. So as a performer, I'm extremely excited this year for Pride to be working with Bruce Valanche. Very excited. So he's the other MC, and I have this over 30, under 30 thing going on. If you're under 30, you have no idea who Bruce Valanche is, but you're familiar with his work. But if you're over 30, then you know him from Hollywood Squares, right?
Hollywood Squares, that's it. That's the only thing I know him from.
Yeah, well, he's the head writer for the Oscars.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he's like gay comic royalty. So and to work with him is just amazing, right? You know? He writes all the jokes for the Oscars. That's pretty cool. Yeah, and he's my co-MC this year. So
wonderful, excited. That's exciting. So exciting. Next week we'll be chatting with Jason Ingram, and then Melinda Williams, and the week after, 2 weeks from now, look forward to a great conversation with Carla Rossi.
He's amazing. Also, before we go to break, Carla Rossi is going to be my co-MC at the Q Center 10th anniversary party, which is happening July 11th at the Q Center. And there's going to be musicians and drag and burlesque and all sorts of stuff celebrating the 10th year of the Q Center.
So that's Thursday.
It's a Saturday, I think. It's July 11th.
Oh, July 11th.
Yeah. Yeah.
July 11th. Saturday, July 11th. The 10th anniversary of...
10th anniversary of the Q
Center. And that's... hosted by Belinda Carroll and Carla Rossi.
Yep.
And Carla is also hosting Queerlandia this Thursday.
Oh, nice.
So
great.
Hop online and check that out.
Well, don't promote something that's going to affect my event. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. So we're going to take a couple of minutes and we're going to listen to a little Shirley Scott. And then we'll be back with Jason to talk about what's coming up this Thursday.
Yeah.
Comedy Showcase.
Yeah, the Funhouse Lounge.
Wonderful. Welcome back, dearest listeners. This is Alan. We're listening to Out Loud here on KBOO, KBOO FM. I have in the studio with me Belinda Carroll.
Hello.
One of the organizers of the Portland Dyke March this weekend, as well as Alexis Page, one of the organizers of the Trans Pride March this weekend. Tell us, give us the who's and what's and where's of each of those marches this weekend so the folks know where to head to.
So the Trans March is going to be on Saturday, and it gathers at 10:30 in the morning, kickoff at 11:30 in the morning at North Park Blocks. And so just show up with your sign, whatever you want to do, between 10:30 and 11:30 it kicks off.
That's the Trans March.
That's the Trans March. And then the Dyke March happens at 1:30, and then we're gathering around 12:30, 1 o'clock, kickoff at 1:30, and that's also at the North Park Blocks.
Fabulous. Yeah. And involved in that is speakers who will be at the Pride Festival.
Yes. So once the Trans March gets to the waterfront, then they're going to have about 45 minutes on stage. We're going to have various trans speakers come up and talk about their experiences and their life as a trans person. And we have trans people of color and all sorts of stuff going on, right?
Yes, definitely. It really is going to be amazing. I've read some of the people's speeches, and like I've had to have tissues next to me for some of them already. So you're going to want to stay. You're going to want to hear what they have to say. And also, it's going to be a lot of fun because it's Pride.
Right. And then after that, after the trans speakers, then we'll have a whole day of entertainment. And that's going to be amazing. I've got my friend Lisa Curtis, who's a comedian, coming down from Bellingham. We've got Bruce Valanche emceeing. We've got the Sex Bots. We've got Dirty Looks. We've got all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, it'll be good.
All right. Fabulous. Now, this Thursday, Belinda, you're hosting a comedy showcase.
I am. I am very excited. I'm doing a show on Thursday with Jason Stewart at the Funhouse Lounge. It's called the Intimacy Issues Comedy Tour. And it's actually the fifth annual Pride Comedy Showcase that I've done. And partial proceeds go to Pride Northwest. And we're gonna make you laugh. It's a show at 9 and 11. It's a Funhouse Lounge over on Southeast 11th and Division. And you can go to Brown Paper Tickets, put in fifth annual Pride Comedy Showcase. It'll come right up.
Fabulous. And we have Jason on the line.
Oh, yay.
Jason, can you hear us?
I'm right here.
Hello.
We're going to make you laugh. That's what we're going to make you laugh.
That's the whole point, I think.
I know. It's like we're going to force them. So, I love that. I was...
We're laugh tops. That's what we are.
Yes. I used to be on... I did a show called Make Me Laugh in the 90s. That's where I met Kevin James. I think it's the last time I saw him. No, I think I saw him. I actually saw him at a table read for this Adam Sandler film that I was invited to be at.
King of Queens, Kevin James?
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember he was hanging around Comedy Central. That's how long I've been in this business, when my career was happening.
Right. You had to go out and covered wagons and like vaudeville it around the country.
Exactly. I had a bonnet.
Right. You had a bonnet and a nice husband. Yeah.
It was a comedy bonnet, yeah.
It was a comedy bonnet. So I'm very excited. So I got online last night because I'm obsessive. And so Brown Paper Tickets has a place where you can actually like do your report for like where people are buying tickets from, you know? So I was curious. I was like, oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't realize that that was a thing that you could do, but you can. And there are people buying tickets for the show from like Victoria, British Columbia and San Francisco and like whatever. So this is going to be a blast. It's going to be so cool.
That's great.
Oh, my God. I'm going to take a hit of some Red Bull just so I can feel that.
I know, right? Rest up, sister.
I want to feel it. I want to feel what's going on.
Right.
I want to emotionally know where I'm at.
Well, good luck with that.
So we'll find out. Perhaps we'll find out if those folks are staying the whole weekend. It could be, you know.
Oh, I'm
just
sure.
The beginning, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they're staying the whole weekend. I'm sure they're not driving up just for the show, but I would like to believe so because I'm a narcissist. So, but yeah. And then, are you excited about giving away share tickets?
Ah, Cher, are you kidding? If you could turn back time, she could find a boyfriend her own age. Good night, everybody. I'm actually in a film with Chaz, Cher's daughter.
Oh, that's right. Dirty, right?
Yeah, where I play a heterosexual.
Oh, my God. Do you really play a heterosexual in that movie?
Yeah, and it's the first time Chaz has ever played a man in a movie, I believe.
Oh, that's fun.
And I'm sort of excited about that. That should be out next year. And I've known him around 20 years. Very nice guy. And I'm really happy that he's starting to do what he really wants to do. And I heard you're having a transgender march or a transgender event.
Yeah, we're having the trans march. Actually, Alexis is here with trans march. Yeah, we're having a trans march on Saturday, and I'm really excited.
Yeah.
And you're going to be down at the waterfront on Saturday, too, as our VIP guest.
Yes, I will. And I'll be a VIPing to a very big extent, I want you to know. I'm going to demand a piece of chocolate and a boy named Raul.
Well, it is the whitest place on earth, so I don't know if we can hook you up with a boy named Raul, but we might be able to get you one named Tom or something.
How about, or Skeeter, right?
Right. Byron.
I've seen Portlandia, the TV show, and I think that what I love is that you all are exactly alike, except you have different wigs.
Right. It's true.
Because you guys sound like, hey, and everybody's cool, and they're feeling things. You have a lot of feelings in Portlandia.
That's true.
There's a lot of feelings.
Now, Cyndi Lauper was the first concert I ever saw.
Oh, no way.
And I went through a phase where... And I actually touched her hand. I was like, oh, I'm not going to wash it ever again. But then I forgot the next
Alan
day.
Alan went through a phase.
I just want you both to know that I actually went to a television taping of the Sonny and Cher show. Yet, actually, both of you, please try to act excited that I'm on the phone. I went to a Cher concert. I've been to a Cher concert. And I've hung out with Cher for a very short amount of time.
Oh, that's cool. I'd love to meet her.
With her. You know, I can't tell you where we met because it's private, but I can tell you that when she came, she just parked her Bentley in the red and just walked in.
She was just like, I'm Cher. Yeah.
No, it's just, it wasn't that she got a ticket and she didn't care.
That's hilarious. You know, well, she's made of money by now. I mean, you know. So you went to Cyndi Lauper?
There must be somebody that just sort of pays for those things and takes care of her. Maybe she just sort of hands them and says, hey, Yolanda, take care of them.
Right. Yeah, I want somebody like that too.
Absolutely. So yeah. So the She's So Unusual tour, my first concert. I was young, and after that, I went through a phase where all I wore was orange. And fortunately, my dad had all of these.
Oh, honey, that's sad. I wouldn't have brought that up if I were. We're trying to sell tickets, not scare people.
I know.
That's why I'm here. Belinda, that's why you asked me, right?
Right. First, you can warn people away from orange. That would be great.
They're all going to have to wear orange. It's gonna be awful.
So tell us about the ticket giveaway.
Oh, yeah. So basically, Jason and I, you can buy your advance tickets at brownpapertickets.com. Every ticket that you buy for the show and come to the show, then you'll get a raffle ticket for a chance to win Cher Cyndi Lauper tickets. So we'll be giving away five.
Oh, God, at the same time.
I know. Yeah, it'll be great.
Isn't that an incredible show?
It'll be amazing, I think. And then we'll do a raffle at the end of the night. And so we're giving away five pairs. So we'll give away part in the first show at 9 o'clock and then part at the second show at 11 o'clock.
Will we be doing this together? Or is this part of my show? Or I think it's going to be great. Fun. I want to do it with you.
I think it'll be after you get done with your set. Then we'll go ahead and do it right before everybody takes off.
Oh, so we'll make some stay till the end.
Of course.
We won't make some turn back time, but we will say, hey, when they win, they will say, I got you, babe. You know.
Exactly.
And then the beat
And then you can
on,
see how many share
right
puns
out.
That Jason can come up with between now and Thursday.
It's pretty easy, because I believe. I do. You know, it's great share because it's a woman's world. It really is.
Look forward to that that amount of putting.
Well, I'm very excited to come to Portland. I haven't been there in a number of years, and me and Belinda have created this heterosexual relationship on the phone.
It's true.
It's sort of. I really think that I'm married to her, and I've gotten a couple kids.
Right. And I'm running as Grindr now.
Yeah.
That's my whole job.
Oh, I hope Grindr works there, because I have to have something to do when I'm out on stage.
I know, right? Let's not talk about that. FCC. Okay, so.
They don't know what that is. FCC, HIJKLMNOP.
Oh,
yes.
No, they know who the FCC is here. We're an occupied. We're all sorts of against the federal censorship.
Have you been in trouble before, Belinda?
I'm always in trouble. Oh. I was a lesbian Avenger in my early 20s.
Well, I'm just excited to be there and excited to you know, do the show for you guys there. And I think Pride is really important to support. And it's also really important to support openly gay artists because, you know, I don't know if you guys heard about what happened with Jonah Hill this last week.
Oh, yes, I did. Yeah, mm-hmm. He used the slur. Yeah.
Yeah. And about, you know, about bullying, and he apparently he was being bullied by this paparazzi guy. They were calling him names and
right.
chasing him down the street, and he sort of lost it and used the gay F word, and that's what I sort of call it.
Sure.
And because I don't like to say it out loud unless I'm saying it, you know, in a quote or something. And I think what happened was is that he just lost it, and people say, well, God, does that mean he's really prejudiced? And, you know, should we forgive him? Should we not forgive him? How should we feel about it? As a community, and I would say if somebody is willing to apologize and just shed some light on it, hey, you know, I love that.
Yeah.
I love the idea that people that people can change, you know?
Right,
and
right, change, right.
And I'm a big supporter in supporting each other.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I thought his apology was really well done, too.
Oh, my God. He's, yeah. And you know, I'm just hoping that he calls me and puts me in his next family, because that was the whole idea.
Right. I know a way you could apologize.
I just went to be this lovely thing to just sort of, it's just back to me, right?
Right. So, Jason, we got a short time here today because I've got to go down to the Pride kickoff party that's happening at the City Hall right now.
Oh, I wish I could be there.
Oh, I wish you could be there, too.
If you want to, call me, and I will do it with you on FaceTime.
I'll just carry you around the whole time on
wouldn't
my tablet.
Great? Maybe I could do the show like that, and I wouldn't have to leave. I could do the show on
from your living room.
I was a hologram once on the TV show Sequest.
Were you really?
Yes, I was hired, and I did not have to audition for that part. It was given to me.
Well, that's a shock. So
So apparently, I'm hologram friendly.
Totally. So okay, well, we got to go, but
right,
Jason,
well,
thank you for calling and spending some time with us.
I will see you guys on Thursday.
Thanks, Jason.
Take care, everybody.
Okay, bye, sweetie.
So this show, this comedy showcase, is
on Thursday. June 12th at the Funhouse Lounge. There's a show at 9 o'clock and there's a show at 11 o'clock. And so go to Brown Paper Tickets, and it's the 5th Annual Pride Comedy Showcase, and you can get it on Brown Paper Tickets. Or you can find me on Facebook at Belinda Carroll Comedy on Facebook, or you can find me at BelindaCarrollComedy.org.
Great. The Funhouse Lounge is, looks like 11th and Division just about. Is that right?
Yeah, it's right on 11th and Division. It's 2432 Southeast 11th, but it's right on the corner of 11th and Division. Super fun place. Really love it.
Fabulous. And as a reminder, we've got the Trans
March.
March.
Yes, the Trans Pride March, which will be meeting at the North Park Blocks on West Burnside, starting at 10:30 a.m. Saturday, June 14th, and the march will begin at 11:30 a.m.
Wonderful. Thanks for being here, Alexis. Okay.
And then also Dyke March, 1 o'clock at North Park Blocks. Come march with us. Join me at the main stage. Come say hi. I'm friendly.
All right.
All right.
All right. Thanks so much, both of you. We are going to tune into a little bit of music for just a moment, and then we are going to hear Barbara Nelson's interview that she did just this past weekend with Ron Rasmussen. He's part of the Veterans for Human Rights, which is a local organization, a group of veterans who work on justice and equity issues in our community. Thanks, both of you, for being here.
Thank you.
Talking with Ron Rasmussen, who is currently serving as the Vice President and Outreach Coordinator for the Veterans for Human Rights Organization. And Ron is at the Portland branch.
We are a Portland-based organization which serves the needs of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender U.S. military veterans in Oregon and Southwest Washington. It's a veterans.
First, Ron, can you explain to KBOO listeners what types of services the Veterans for Human Rights provides for this population?
We provide outreach. We provide coordination if they need assistance dealing with the VA in terms of compensation and benefits, or dealing with the VA in terms of gaining medical care, we try to assist them in that regard. We've also offered our skills in terms of helping people gain discharge upgrades if they did get a bad discharge due to homosexuality. In that regard, we have sent people on to the organization called Service Members Legal Defense Network, based in Washington, D.C., and they have an excellent matrix with which to help people to gain discharge upgrades. The vast majority of people who step forward to us, though, do have honorable discharges, and we've served in a strong coordination role. We also provide the color guard each year for the Portland Gay Pride Parade every year since 1996. That's been a great way of not only to engender higher degrees of participation, but also a great outreach method as well. We've each year also for the Portland Pride Parade, we've had a booth there for most of the past few years, and it's amazing as to the either veterans or active duty military who will step forward to us telling us their stories of their personal experiences, and then from there we try to assist them.
How does one go about getting referrals for attorneys who specialize in equal rights?
There are a great many different groups. There are a great many different attorneys' offices in Portland. Perhaps the best way would be to go through the Portland Gay and Lesbian Yellow Pages and look under A for attorneys. By the same token, people do need attorneys specializing in things related to military and veterans. They would definitely contact us.
Okay. What kinds of cases would this organization typically take on?
Well, for example, we do not do the legal work itself. For example, that might be handled by an organization based in Washington, D.C. called Service Members Legal Defense Network, which recently merged with another organization called OutServe, which is our nation's first gay and lesbian active duty military service organization. They would handle that kind of work. What we do predominantly is organizing and also assisting people in their efforts to gain access to services with the local Portland Veterans Administration facilities, and of course referring people to other organizations as those needs arise.
Are transgender issues included in your advocacy?
Yes, they are, most definitely. As a matter of fact, when Veterans for Human Rights resuscitated in October of 2009, of the 19 people in attendance that evening at the Q Center, which is Portland's Gay and Lesbian Community Center, Mississippi Avenue, four of them were transgendered. Also, it's intriguing that you should ask about the trans community, because most recently, United States Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel mentioned that he could easily conceive of transgender people serving in the military. Now, currently, there's still some restrictions on that, but that may well be changing. So things are happening in the military. One of the great things that's been happening, though, is a few years ago, the Veterans Administration decided to not only offer hormone therapy to transgendered military veterans as they're seeking their personal selves, the gender that they identify with most, but also the Veterans Administration decided to address the transgender person as they present. For example, if that person presents as male, be addressed as sir. If that person addresses female, be addressed as ma'am. And that is a huge, huge shift for the VA culture.
That's great. What happens when a soldier tests positive for HIV?
It is my understanding those soldiers are generally put on a more limited duty. They're only serving in the United States. They are not deployed. In previous years, they were discharged. I do know that when Caspar Weinberger was Secretary of Defense in the 1980s, he did everything he possibly could to make sure that soldiers were still able to serve as long as possible in the military, but of course only in the United States.
You've already spoken about how the Veterans for Human Rights advocates for sexual reassignment.
Yes, and indeed the Veterans Administration is currently assisting with sex reassignment surgery in many cases. But the big shift again for the VA is they're now providing hormone therapy for transgendered veterans.
Now, is that while they're in the military, while they're in active duty, or
no,
as
no, no,
a veteran?
No, that is strictly in the context of the Veterans Administration, once a military member has transitioned out of the military and into veteran status.
Ron, can you bring us up to date with a brief history of gays and lesbians serving in the military?
Well, certainly. There is an amazing, colorful history of gay and lesbian military members down through history. Perhaps the most famous was Alexander the Great 2,300 years ago. Alexander the Great of Macedonia, who conquered the Near East and most of the known world at the time. His partner's name is Hephaestion. He traveled with his partner. Intriguingly, I know that many of my bisexual friends will eagerly claim that Alexander the Great was bisexual. But he definitely set the standard. He's also the one who first started requiring that all of his military members be completely clean-shaven. Some people say that so they could be more easily recognized. Other people say because he liked the appearance of a clean-shaven man, and there may be some humor attached to that as well, too. There are several other fine cases of truly outstanding gay and lesbian military members down through history. One of my favorite members of gay and lesbian military history is Baron von Steuben of Prussia, who helped General George Washington win the American Revolution. Baron von Steuben of Prussia, depending on who you talk to, and by the way, there is a book about him, he'd been whispered about in the salons of Europe, came to the 13 colonies, and he was the one who trained and drilled the troops in that very difficult winter at Valley Forge. He is also known to have traveled the 13 colonies extensively with his interpreter, although he spoke English rather well. So there's some humor attached to the idea that maybe his interpreter was really just his lover. When he finally died in the newly formed United States, he left what little funds and property he had to three men to whom he was not related. And so he is certainly one of the more colorful characters in gay and lesbian military history. There were several others as well, too. One of them was Staff Sergeant Johnny Phelps, a great woman in the United States Army in World War II. Now, when Veterans Human Rights held a huge dinner in Portland in the late 1990s, we had the great pleasure of hearing Sergeant Johnny Phelps speak to us via telephone at that dinner from her home in California. And the story she told is that when she was on General Eisenhower's staff in Europe in 1944, General Eisenhower came to Johnny Phelps and said, "It's my understanding there's a lot of lesbians in the Army. Please draw up a list so that we can eliminate them." Sergeant Johnny Phelps responded, "If it pleases the general, sir, we could do that. However, sir, my name will be at the top of the list."
Oh.
So General Eisenhower backed off. The list was never drawn up, and those members were never expelled from the military, or at least under General Eisenhower's orders.
Boy, that's a little-known fact.
Yes. Johnny Phelps is a very colorful character indeed, and she did an excellent job of telling that story via telephone that evening. There have been several others down through history as well, too. One of my favorites, who's not necessarily military but still related to the military, was Frederick the Great of Prussia. Frederick the Great of Prussia, when he was a young prince, his father discovered that he was conducting a homosexual love affair with one of his father's young army officers. Well, his father had the young army officer executed and forced young Frederick to watch. So that's just a very difficult moment in history. Anyway, when young Frederick eventually became Emperor of Prussia, he completely reformed the military command structure such that officers were chosen based on their proficiency and not so much based on land holdings. He also completely reformed he's the one that started the concept of a merit-based German civil service. And he was always paying attention to his military members while he was emperor, and just a tremendous, tremendous foundation of civilization. Great individual indeed. And there have been so many others down through history as well, too.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is currently driving the social change to accept gays in the military?
That change is because we've had so much acculturization, acclimatization. The American public in general have become accustomed to seeing gays and lesbians not only at the bank where they work, in their companies, at the retail establishments, in schools, wherever they are. They now know gays and lesbians as their fathers, sons, uncles, aunts, as their relatives. And it was in the military was simply one of the last institutions in society to make the change.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a wonderful quote from Margaret Thatcher that you mentioned before. Now, no one can exercise a right who does not fulfill an obligation.
That's right. I think the quote was, "No one can exercise a right unless someone else has previously carried out an obligation."
Oh, okay.
Now, Margaret Thatcher intriguingly lifted that quote from Winston Churchill, which is very appropriate because those two were certainly ideological brethren, shall we say. I had the great pleasure of watching Margaret Thatcher issued that quote when I was living in the UK and she was speaking on British television. I really truly believe that quote best epitomizes what the gay and lesbian movement, indeed any movement surrounding human rights, is all about. Anytime there's any sort of human progress, that seems to be the foundation of it. That is to say, you have one group of people do something so that later on another group of people can exercise rights. Some of the prime examples of this would be those brave souls near 1215 who signed the Magna Carta, those brave souls near 1776 who signed the Declaration of Independence, putting their lives on the line so that others could have freedom later on. And those brave souls near 1969 who stood up to the police raids at the Stonewall Inn in New York City, those are the people who set the tone, those are the people who put down the milestones of history, such that other great movements after them would come forward and bring progress in human rights.
Why do you feel America is one of the last countries to recognize equal rights for gays and lesbians who've accepted the obligation to serve their country honorably?
Well, it looks like that in terms of NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, which is a military alliance of the United States, Canada, and many Western European nations, it appears that the United States was one of the last countries in NATO to allow gay and lesbian military members to serve openly and honestly. All other NATO member countries except the United States and Turkey had already made this change to allow gays and lesbians to serve in the military openly and honestly, and the United States was one of the last countries to do so. The legislation was passed and signed in December of 2010, and it became legal to be openly gay and lesbian in the military on Tuesday, the 20th of June, 2011, and now the only NATO member country that still does not allow this is the Republic of Turkey. But there's a great many other non-NATO countries, for example, Japan and Israel and Australia all authorize gays and lesbians to serve in the military openly and honestly without discrimination.
You know, there are many issues to talk about, from equal compensation for an equal job to medical issues to VA survivor rights for partners of same-sex marriages. Would you like to comment on the recent development to survivor benefits plan for those of same-sex marriages?
Yes, indeed. This has been a tremendous move forward. Ever since the change came with the legislation in 2010 and lifting of the ban in September 2011, incrementally there have been more and more changes that have been brought about. For example, issuing dependent ID cards to same-sex military spouses, presuming they're legally married in various states where that is authorized, and even getting those military dependent ID cards issued in some states is rather difficult if they were, for example, going to a National Guard or Reserve base as opposed to a real-life military base controlled by the Department of Defense. So, of course, we've seen these other changes come about that you mentioned, for example, survivor benefits, the VA recognizing this, the Department of Defense recognizing this, and this is all part of the long march toward full, complete, equal rights, such that one day the distinction will no longer matter.
What are the circumstances that led up to the recent repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
Boy, there's a long history indeed. I think that one of the circumstances many people do not necessarily see as part of this long train of history started in 1948 when President Eisenhower, when President Truman signed the executive order to desegregate the military. Now, that had been a long time in coming. There's a tremendous, marvelous, colorful history of African Americans serving in the United States military for many years, starting with the U.S. Civil War, moving up through the Buffalo Soldiers in the West and the Northwest, and on into specialized regiments in World War I and World War II. There's even, of course, the Fighting 99th, which was a great fighter squadron serving in Italy during World War II, populated entirely by African Americans. So those people led the way. Those people were the ones who said, we need to rethink the concept of equality. We need to rethink the concept of people who are serving and fighting valiantly, people who are skilled and talented, people who are competent and know what they're doing, regardless of race. And then in 1948, President Truman issued the order to desegregate the military. That laid the groundwork. And then from there, there are other forward movements and other setbacks. For example, in 1953, President Eisenhower issued an executive order based on the concept of sexual perversion, if you will. That was the term utilized. And that was Executive Order 10452, which stipulated that for civilian members of the U.S. government, they could be discharged from their civilian jobs if they were in the Commerce Department or wherever, based on sexual perversion, because at the time after the Red Scare, there was, shall we say, a pink scare, and there was a lot of concern that maybe that the federal government was giving salaries to people who are homosexual. And then, of course, later on came other movements and changes that began to affect the military as well. There was also DOD policy 1332.14, which was inaugurated by President Ronald Reagan in 1981, which made it There was also the Uniform Code of Military Justice, which was inaugurated in 1951 as an act of Congress. The Uniform Code of Military Justice was a result of many congressmen and many county sheriffs asking that we have one uniform way of treating military members, wherever they are, in uniform, not in uniform, on base, off base, in the United States or around the world, for be it issues of theft or how they're conducting themselves in the office or on the battlefield, or, for example, homosexuality. Article 125 of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, I'll use the acronym UCMJ, specifically covers homosexuality. And, of course, that was all part of the 1951 congressional legislation. And then, of course, came President Eisenhower's executive order in 1953. And then, of course, came DOD policy 1332.14, inaugurated by President Reagan in 1981, which made it a little bit easier to discharge people for homosexuality. There had also been a great social movement across the United States in the early 1990s that resulted in a great deal of mainstream media attention to the issue of gays and lesbians in the military. I believe this is a result of the first Gulf War in the 1990-1991 time frame. Anytime during a war and afterward, there's usually a great deal of social change. This happened after World War I, this happened after World War II, and the Gulf War was certainly no exception. People began to see, wait a minute, we've got friends serving in the military side by side who are fighting and dying alongside with us, and we need to treat them fairly. So in 1993, Congress finally repealed Article 125 of the Uniform Code of Military Justice and replaced that with what became known as Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Now, specifically for the legals out there in the radio audience, they would want to look up number 10, United States Code 654. That is the specific legal provision that established Don't Ask, Don't Tell, or perhaps more legally known as Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Don't Pursue, which specified that military commanders were no longer allowed to ask military service members if they're gay. Their military members were no longer allowed to tell anyone if they're gay, and military commanders were no longer allowed to legally pursue military members who were gay and lesbian. Unfortunately, on some military installations in late 1990s, specifically Fort Campbell, Kentucky, some commanders were still asking, telling, and pursuing. And this brought about a great deal of public pressure, such that as time went forward, people began to say, we need to remove Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Don't Ask, Don't Tell was part of incrementalism. We thought it was going to be a positive shift. It was not. It was still unworkable. And so people began wanting something else. It is interesting to note that even after Don't Ask, Don't Tell was inaugurated in 1993, the numbers of military members who were being discharged for homosexuality under Don't Ask, Don't Tell was still rising. In 1994, it was 617. In 1995, it rose to 772. And it actually peaked in 2001 at 1,273 United States military personnel discharged for homosexuality. Discharged just because they told the truth. This accelerated the public effort to end Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It accelerated the public effort to make sure that we're no longer discriminating against military personnel just because they're telling the truth. Now, think about this in another way. These are highly trained people. People have gone through some of the best training in the world, whether they are missile repair technicians, medical technicians, doctors and nurses, pilots, people trained in all kinds of communication skills, and even people who've gone through the Defense Language Institute at Monterey, California, trained in highly valuable languages like Farsi, the language of Iran, or Arabic, or Korean, the language of North Korea, and other places where we need to be monitoring what's going on in countries that are engaging in state-sponsored terrorism or whatever other military activities that might be endangering our military forces, but we're still discharging these highly trained people. So as time went forward, the public pressure became more and more intense, and this finally culminated in the efforts in 2009 and 2010 to pass congressional legislation. Now, in 2010, it was December of 2010, the legislation was finally passed by Congress and signed by President Obama that completely eliminated any further restrictions on gays and lesbians and bisexuals serving openly and honestly in the military. And that was a great day indeed. And on Tuesday, the 20th of September 2011, that was the last official day of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And there are many parties around the United States, and I organized one of them right here in Portland, Oregon at Q Center.
Well, this is a wonderful comprehensive history lesson on these issues, Ron. We want to, as we continue to sort out a lot of these issues, I want to bring to the audience's attention that there's a Pride Parade happening in Portland this weekend. You want to talk about some of those details?
Oh, yes, indeed. Every year since 1996, the Portland-based organization Veterans Human Rights has provided the color guard for the Portland Pride Parade. This year's Pride Parade is no different. It'll be held on Sunday, the 15th of June. Step-off time in the North Park blocks is at 11 a.m. It'll be wending its way through downtown Portland and, I believe, terminating in Waterfront Park for a huge cultural festival. It'll be a tremendous event, and we'll have six veterans of various military services carrying flags in the parade. Leading the color guard will be Dr. Marianne Humphrey Keever. She has a PhD in physical education. She teaches physical education at Portland Community College. She'll be carrying the U.S. flag. She's a former United States Army major who was discharged for being lesbian. She wrote the book entitled My Country, My Right to Serve, and she's a tremendous exemplar of what can be done in terms of people moving on with their lives and doing great things for others, be it veteran status, civilian status, or whatever. Also in the parade will be Mr. Paul Milius, who is a member of the Portland City Club. Paul Milius is also a member of a military truck aficionado club in Portland. Paul Milius is a straight man, is very proud of his lesbian daughter, and Paul Milius will be driving a Dodge 1954 M54 United States Army military truck, and that truck will be carrying the banners of Veterans Human Rights. He'll be right behind color guard, right with us, and it's always a great presentation as we go by the reviewing stand, issuing a very sharp, smart, eyes right, and people in the reviewing stand noticing the banners on the truck, and reviewing stand telling the world all about our group, Veterans Human Rights. It's just a tremendous, spirit-filled, moving occasion to see the public respond so well to the flag. You know, each year we have parade bystanders, parade watchers, looking at the flag, and you can almost see the ideas in their mind as they seem to be saying, wait a minute, that flag belongs to me too. And each year we see more and more people standing as the color guard go by, more and more people putting hands over heart, more and more people saluting, because there's a sense of identification. There's no longer this sense of removal and separation, that we as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered people are now fully invested in our society, fully invested in our community, engaging and moving forward and saluting the efforts that people have gone before.
Well, this sounds like the Veterans for Human Rights sounds like a very broad mission of advocacy. And how does a veteran in need of these service contact your organization?
Well, we do have our website, www.vfhr.org. VFHR is Veterans Human Rights. We also have a Facebook page. If people are truly desperate, they can contact me. I'm available on that website as well, too, or I could certainly give my home telephone number over the air. That's no problem. We have many other ways people can contact us. You can also meet us at the Portland Pride Parade. We'll be handing out business cards along the parade route, as always. If people need us, again, do be sure to contact us. And, of course, our friends at Q Center know how to contact us as well. We certainly do provide high degrees of social cohesion, social support, and what we're focused on is determination, dedication, pride, and character. My favorite expression is still serving freedom, strong and proud.
Well, Ron, it's been a pleasure to be enlightened about what the Veterans for Human Rights Organization can do to support our GLBT brothers and sisters who have served honorably for our country. And that's all the time we have today. So in closing, I'm talking to Ron Rasmussen of the Veterans for Human Rights Organization. This is Barbara Nelson for KBOO at 90.7 on your FM dial.
And you are tuned in to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 7:01. Stay tuned for Hard Knock Radio coming up next.
KBOO is proud to co-sponsor and broadcast live from the 2014 Safeway Waterfront Blues Festival. The 27th annual festival will take place July 3rd through the 6th, 2014, at Tom McCall Waterfront Park.